Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Beaver Dam. I am your host, Tyler Rovilla, and I have a very special guest in here with me tonight. Kevin White is joining Trent and I for this episode of the Beaver Dam. Kevin, it's great to have you on here. But I just want to dive in real quick. We're going to discuss a lot of things going on, especially in the NBA, with Toronto having the best record right now. They're 11-1, but I mean, I would say they're probably the top favorite in the East. My only thing is, I haven't been watching a lot of NBA action to start off this year.
I would agree. Like you said, I don't watch a whole lot of NBA, but from what I see, you know, on ESPN, it was like I said, real hard to kind of picture this happening.
Right, you know? Right. And the one thing though is, the Cavs have kind of fallen off the rocker. They're not doing so hot this year. They're 1-10. They're fifth in the Central Division, and it doesn't look good for Cleveland.
It's a little rough. A little rough in Cleveland right now. The amount of injuries that they have right now, and just the lack of hustle that you see night to night, is pretty pitiful. They of course fired their coach. You know. Mm-hmm. It's not a good time to be a Cavaliers fan right now.
Not at all. Hopefully, I mean, the season's pretty long. Hopefully they can turn things around and not just play in the tank and look to get Zion.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, maybe after that Duke game the other night, they're thinking, we'll have one of those guys.
Yeah.
Just going to tank after it.
I mean, speaking of that Duke game, Division I college basketball just got underway. Tuesday was the first night, I do believe. Duke, the Blue Devils, play Kentucky. Kentucky was ranked 2. Duke was ranked 4 in the State Farm Champions Classic. And holy crap.
Yeah, that's kind of what Jay Billis said after the game, too. It's just real tough to kind of picture that.
Yeah, Duke won. I mean, they didn't even win. They blew Kentucky out of the water 118-84. And Duke's freshmen, they're top three. They're big three. They're big three freshmen. They have another one who contributed. But their combined points was more than what Kentucky had as a team. It was, 89-84 with Zion. He had 28. Barrett had 33. Yeah. Trying to see, look at this.
I think Trey Jones only had about four, maybe it was four of those. But R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson both broke the freshman debut record set by Marvin Bagley last year.
That's insane. Cameron Reddish also, he had 22. But
that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah, as a Duke fan, I think I was telling you guys a little earlier, as a Duke fan, you know, I was hoping for the win, hoping for a good game. Mm-hmm. But even in my wildest dreams, I would not have pictured anything like that. I knew Zion and R.J. Barrett were supposed to be really good coming in, but gosh, on that big of a stage, for that to be your first game ever, playing that powerful of a team, annually that powerful of a team, that's something else.
Are they the clear favorite to win it all this year?
Ooh.
I know it's very, very early, but.
Yeah. If you ask me a couple weeks from now, because the problem now is, you know, you see a game like that and you're thinking one of two things. You're thinking, well, Duke is really that good, or maybe Kentucky was overrated.
Yeah.
So I guess the next couple of weeks, like, Duke plays Army on Sunday. No disrespect to Army, but they're not exactly a Kentucky of college basketball. But if Kentucky continues the next couple of weeks and really plays well and kind of beats their opponents handily, then maybe we do have a clear-cut favorite in Duke. But you know, I think it's a little too early to tell, really.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. I mean, with a game like this, you want to have that hope. I mean, they could still probably win it all, but you don't want to just have that small sample size to predetermine Duke winning it all.
Exactly.
Because Kentucky's always been a pretty good team the last couple of years, and they've had their off seasons. The last two, I think, they haven't been as good as everybody's hyped them up to be, they still are that team to really look out for once March rolls around.
Sure.
And I shouldn't even be talking about March. It's November.
That's
we
right.
just had our first thing of snow, which I think a lot That's of people exactly were surprised right. for. Moving on, So the Saints in the NFL, they signed Dez Bryant earlier in the week. And his second day of practice, possibly done for the year after tearing his Achilles. That's... what a season for Dez
That's
Bryant.
Something else. I mean, I thought the Saints were doing pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, obviously one of the better teams in the whole NFL right now. And when they added Dez Bryant, you're thinking, okay, they're getting ready to make a real deep run in the playoffs if
yeah.
they make it
yeah.
to the Super Bowl. But, man, the poor guy can't catch a break at
no,
this point.
I not mean, at all.
I know he's had his, you know, trials and tribulations in the NFL off, you know, off the field stuff, anything like that. But,
yeah.
you know, you do feel for the guy. That's a rough way to go out.
Oh, no question. I really like the move New Orleans did in signing Dez for a one-year deal for the rest of the season because they really don't have that clear-cut number two receiver right. alongside Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to make a run deep into the rest of the season and into the playoffs, you need a second receiver mm-hmm. when Michael Thomas has been torching people. They're going to yeah. double team him, triple team him, whatever.
Exactly.
You can't rely on your running backs because you don't want them to get hurt either. Right. And then no disrespect to Ben Watson, their tight end, but that guy is pretty old.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They really just at this point, because of Michael Thomas is getting so much attention. I mean, he's just been playing out of his mind recently.
Yeah.
Well, the whole year. At this point, they really just need somebody that can catch the ball downfield.
Yes.
He's going to be wide open. There's not a team in the NFL that they're going to play the rest of the year that's going to put one guy on Michael Thomas. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So they really, I mean, I thought Dez was that guy, but, you know, unfortunately these things happen, I guess. But
yeah, that's – I saw it today because I in my ESPN fantasy league, I'm like, all right, Dez got signed. Give it a couple weeks. Maybe things could happen. Well, now, it's a good thing I didn't trade for him. There are some people in Yahoo have been trading out of their minds for yeah. Dez. I guess one traded like Deion Lewis, who's been doing pretty well as the running back for Tennessee because he had a really good game on Monday. But trading up these players for Dez Bryant, who just probably done for the year, is just a bit crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking at the schedule, though, for the NFL this week, my Steelers... Oof. Last night against Carolina, they put the smackdown on those Panthers in Heinz Field. 52-21, Big Ben had more passing touchdowns than he did incompletions.
Yeah.
He had 5 passing TDs and 4 incomplete passes, and wow.
Are we sure that the rest of the Carolina team actually made it to the game?
I don't know.
Someone needs to check on that because as I was watching it sort of back and forth, I'm not a fan of either team.
Mm-hmm.
I watch whatever Buckeyes are playing in the game, you know, to be honest with you. But it was just like, again, it just was not close.
Yeah,
At any point.
No.
You know, maybe at the very beginning when it was 0-0, that's about the only time.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, that game was just, oh, I have no words just because how bad it was. Not in the sense that the football play was bad, just the Steelers' offense was just on fire. They were on fire. I mean, the big game, I don't really know if there's a big game really this weekend to pay attention to. Looking at the schedule, I mean, you got Detroit at Chicago, New Orleans at Cincy, Atlanta at Cleveland, the Patriots at the Titans, Jacksonville at Indy, Arizona at Kansas City. I think that might be a blowout.
Yeah.
You got Buffalo at New York, Jets. That game might be the only interesting game because both of those teams are struggling.
Yeah.
You have the Redskins at the Buccaneers. You have the Chargers at Oakland, the Dolphins at Green Bay, Seattle at the Rams, and then the Sunday night game is Dallas at Philly. Then the Monday night game is the Giants at San Francisco.
Yeah. Oof.
This week, I don't...
It's kind of a rough week for competitive games this week.
Yeah, I think the only competitive game is probably the Bills and the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, I think Dallas always plays Philadelphia pretty close.
Yeah.
Kind of no matter what the records are. So, that's always a game. I mean, I think, is that the night? Yeah, that's the night game.
Mm-hmm.
So, that one could probably be, you know, pretty competitive. But, man, the rest of it kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, so to speak.
Yeah. I think Dallas will look to come back and play Philly pretty well. Philly has kind of not been the same team they were last year.
Yeah.
Even though they won the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
But Dallas kind of got embarrassed last week, or this past Monday, against the Titans at home. And they're going to be looking to bounce back.
Exactly, yeah. And with that New Orleans and Cincinnati game, you never know what Cincinnati team you're going to get.
True. So, that is very true.
They could give them, if they play, you know, as well as they can play, they could give them a run for their money, but it's really hard to tell what Cincinnati team will step out of the locker room.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Because they barely escaped against Tampa Bay last week.
Exactly.
That do we credit that, though, to Tampa Bay's offense when they put Ryan Fitzpatrick in, or just the Bengals just not playing well after having such a big lead?
Yeah, I think... Matt, I don't think the Bengals capitalized well off of Tampa Bay's mistakes. I think he threw five picks? Did Jameis throw four or five interceptions?
About that, yeah.
Yeah. They kind of hit halftime, and then there's that lull coming out of halftime, and they just can't do anything. Can't move the ball, can't stop Ryan Fitzpatrick moving the ball, you know. So I think it's a little bit of both, honestly.
Yeah, I'm lucky, though. I'm in a pick'em league in where if I lose one, then I'm done, and so I had the Bengals winning that game, and I was kind of on the edge of my seat. I'm like, please, Lord, don't let them blow
got
this.
Got the W for you.
Yes.
Just barely.
Barely.
They had to keep it entertaining for you.
They did. there is some baseball news, but I don't want to get to that. That'll be the last thing we talk about. I want to discuss if it pop up. There we go. All the slate of games in the top 25 for Division I NCAA football. We already had a game last night in where Wake Forest upset number 14 NC State by 4. They won 27-23. That'll be a big shakeup there come selection time.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are some games tonight, though. Louisville will be at number 13, Syracuse, and number 23, Fresno State will be at Boise State. I think that one... Fresno State and Boise State. That's a 10-15 game on ESPN2. I think that will be a pretty good one.
That should be a pretty good game. It's tough to play at Boise State.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get there, especially if you've never played there before, you get there on that blue field, and you're kind of like, what the heck's going on here? And
yeah.
You know, it's a lot to take in.
So, oh, yeah.
And Boise State looks like they're 7-2, so, I mean, they're probably right on the edge of being ranked. So,
yeah.
Could be a pretty good game.
We have a lot of interesting games, though, this weekend. To kick things off on Fox Sports 1, you got TCU, who have been struggling the last couple of seasons. They are traveling to number 9, West Virginia. That'll be a pretty decent game. On Fox, you have number 10, Ohio State, at number 18, Michigan State.
It's a must win.
It is. I'm kind of nervous for this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little nervous. Typically, again, Michigan State's one of those teams that kind of, no matter the record, they're doing well this year, yeah. So I can't really say that. But no matter the record, they always seem to play Ohio State really tough.
Yeah, it's Michigan State. You got Iowa, Purdue, who beat us by 29.
Obviously Purdue.
But you have those teams, you kind of like think, we're going to win it. But they're always that thorn in our side.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Hopefully it's like last year when Sparty came to the Shoe and we just obliterated them like 48-3 or something like that. That'd be nice.
It was nice to see the running game get going a little more for Ohio State last week. So hopefully that keeps that trend up and Haskins can just pick them, kind of knock them down like he has been. So
I mean, Haskins is having a really great year. He's 242 completions on 347 attempts. He has 3,053 yards and 32 passing touchdowns. That's crazy.
It's hard to argue against those numbers there.
Yeah. I mean, you got J.K. Dobbins, our sophomore running back, alongside Mike Weber. Dobbins has 143 carries for 684 yards and 7 touchdowns, and then receiving for the Buckeyes. K.J. Hill has 51 receptions for 695 yards and 4 scores.
Yeah. I think Haskins does a really good job of finding a lot of different receivers, too.
Yeah.
Kind of being that distributor, so to speak, and he does a little better of a job stretching the ball downfield than you know Barrett did. But against Barrett, but he's just a different player.
Yeah, Haskins, this Buckeyes team is a lot different than what we're accustomed to. We're accustomed to seeing these quarterbacks who are dual threat. Haskins, not much of a runner, but
no.
he's he's a more, I feel like he's a better Cardale Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. He's a lot more accurate than Cardale. I don't think he has near the arm strength. It's up there, but yeah. But yet he's got a better head on his shoulder than a lot of quarterbacks we've seen recently.
Yeah.
He makes really good decisions. I think for being a first year starter, he makes those decisions really quick and kind of gets the pass out really, really quick.
Oh, so no question.
It's refreshing about that. To see a pass first, you know, quarterback.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
So the rest of the 12 o'clock games go Navy at number 12, UCF, South Carolina at number 15, Florida. Another interesting game in the Big Ten would be Wisconsin at number 20, Penn State.
That'll be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a real good one.
12 o'clock game on ABC. The 3:30 games, I don't know. It's number 16, Mississippi State at number 1, Alabama. I was looking forward to the LSU-Alabama game, and then yeah. Bama just goes out. And
yeah, me too. I've been following LSU this year just because of, you know,
Joe Burrow,
you know, mm-hmm. Ohio State transfer. He's been lighting it up.
He has.
Didn't do so hot last week.
No. But
none of his team didn't all that great last week, so we can't really blame it on him, I guess.
The thing is, though, people were telling me, like, that wasn't even the best Bama game, though, for the Crimson Tide, because they only put 29 points up, yeah. But still a shutout.
That's pretty scary when you think about that. That not being their best game so far, it's like, okay,
yeah.
Who's going to compete at that point?
Yeah. We got number 4, Michigan at Rutgers. That's a 3:30 kickoff on the Big Ten Network. Oklahoma State is at number 6, Oklahoma. That'd be a good game to watch. That's on ABC. On ESPN at 3:30 is number 8, Washington State at Colorado. On the SEC Network is number 11, Kentucky at Tennessee. Mm. Northwestern's at number 21, Iowa. That is on Fox. On FS1 is Baylor at number 22, Iowa State. Speaking of Iowa State, our coach, is it?
Yeah, our former football coach.
Yeah, our former, not Coach D, but
Tyson Veit.
Veit. Yeah,
he was actually the coach while I was here. So, yeah, he's doing big things.
He is. He's up for one of the awards for an assistant coach.
It's the Broyles Award, I think, is what it's called, and he's actually a finalist for that. I believe he was a finalist for it last year as well, or he may have been a semifinalist last year. But yeah, that's huge news.
Yeah,
that's very big,
especially with a coach coming from Bluffton.
Exactly,
like Bluffton's not known for a lot of our athletics.
Exactly,
but having someone that came from our school playing at a big school like Iowa State and being a finalist for that.
It's a really cool deal. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So I've been following him a little bit since he left Bluffton. He had a stop in Toledo. So he's followed Matt Campbell around and Matt Campbell is one of the hottest names in coaching right now. So you never know. I mean, we may hear of Tyson going, you know, get another place going, kind of moving up that ladder.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Oh, no question about it. The 7 o'clock game, it'd be number 24, Auburn at number 5, Georgia. On ESPN, that would be a good one to watch, too. At 7:30 on NBC, we have Florida State at number 3, Notre Dame.
Florida State, that's a rough story, too.
Yes. They have not lived up to par the last couple of seasons.
Not at all.
It's been pretty rough there.
Yeah, it has.
On the SEC Network at 7:30, we have number 7, LSU at Arkansas. That should be an easy comeback win for the Tigers. 7:30 on Fox, you have number 19 Texas at Texas Tech. Wow, I can't speak. And then looks like the last game for tomorrow will be at 8 o'clock on ABC, number 2 Clemson at number 17 Boston College. I'm praying there could be an upset there in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts at Alumni Stadium, where Boston College just goes out, holds home turf down, and beats Clemson. That'd be nice.
That would help. I don't have a whole lot of hope for that, but
yeah,
the guy can dream, right?
right. Oh, so that's it, though, for Division I college football. There's a lot of decent games in college football than there is in the NFL.
Yeah.
Especially that Ohio State-Michigan State game.
Yeah, that's a huge one.
I unfortunately will not be able to watch that, though.
Yeah, I'm in the same way. They got the presidential scholarship, of course, going on here tomorrow.
Yep.
So it's a busy weekend for us here, but
no question.
I'll be checking my phone every once in a while.
Yeah, oh, I'll try to.
Yeah,
I gotta make sure I'm paying attention to our game.
That's right.
That's the most important thing. the last thing, even though baseball is now over, I saw a thing that the Cubs announced they're open to trade third baseman Chris Bryant. That's pretty far out there for the Cubs.
That's huge. That's huge.
My only thing is, who would... I guess I'm just shell-shocked on why you would want to trade. Yeah, he hasn't had that good of a year this year, but he's still one of your star players. He exactly. led you to a World Series a couple of years
That's
ago.
That's exactly right. He won, I believe he won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know what they're after there. I think they have a pretty good rotation.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of help they're trying to go after. I'm a Reds fan, so I really can't say much about, good off-season moves or anything like that.
Right.
So, it's a little confusing to me. Honestly, like I said, I think their rotation's pretty good, and they still had a decent run this year. They just, the wheels kind of fell off.
Yeah.
But I don't know what. I mean, maybe somebody will offer them a blockbuster deal.
And maybe
they'll capitalize on it.
But. Maybe. Now, I know with Bryce Harper now being a free agent, there was a report that came out earlier this week on how the Dodgers. Because I'm a Dodgers fan.
Yeah.
And I mean, that World Series was kind of rough to watch.
Oh yeah.
But right at the deadline, I guess they offered Washington Yasiel Puig for Bryce Harper. And I understand why they didn't do it, but you got to look at it this way. Puig is still a pretty good player, pretty good outfielder. He's under contract for a decent amount of time. Harper, I mean, free agent. So, you're, I think Washington knows he's not returning, but why not maybe take that deal?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see with offseason stuff going on with Major League Baseball. We will take a quick break. We'll be back to discuss Bluffton Athletics. There's a lot going on. A lot of our teams are done, though, but we have cross country who will be competing tomorrow. Football's last game is tomorrow. And then we'll talk more on basketball. You're listening to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
Reading is the foundation for learning. I'm Pat Frost Brooks, president of the Ohio Education Association and a classroom teacher for 34 years. You can help your child learn and love to read. Have books that interest your child around your home. If your child loves sports, have books about sports. Whatever piques their interest, real or imagined, have books available on that subject. You don't have to buy books. Take your child to the local library. It's a cool place to spend time together. From billboards to comic books to labels on groceries, read and read some more. With parents and teachers working together, every child can learn to read, and reading may be the most important thing they'll ever learn. Let's make this a successful school year for every child in Ohio.
A message from the Ohio Education Association. Great public schools are a basic right for every child.
96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back here to the Beaver Dam. And we have a lot of things going on, like I mentioned before the break. We have cross country, and that'll be the first thing we'll discuss. They have the NCAA Division III Great Lakes Regional Meet tomorrow. Drop the mouse. I don't want to do that. I don't want to break anything in here. But that, for the women at least, it's hosted by Franklin College. It's at Blue River Park in Shelbyville, Indiana. They have raced there many times this season. Women will race at 11, and the men will follow at 12:15. But this women's team really has not let off that gas pedal. They've been really kicking butt and taking names, especially with Alexis Cash, who just won the HCAC championship for the second year in a row. And my biggest worry coming into this season was how they were going to respond to the coaching change.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
And it has not affected them in the slightest. I mean, especially for the men, they've been running pretty well. They haven't been placing how they've been wanting to, but they're still going out there. They're giving it their all, and they're kicking butt.
They're definitely competitive. And it's a really tough thing. The Brants, the coaches last year, were here for a very, very long time. So they kind of instilled their methods and their techniques into the cross-country team. So to lose a coach and, you know, have to compete 3 months later and do this well is really sort of amazing.
Yeah. Oh, no question. And the coaches they brought in, they're tremendous. Yep. And I know, like you said, with the Brands being here a long time, it's also a nice thing to have just a different coaching feel.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And because I love the Brands, don't get me wrong, but it's also like, it's nice to have that change. Mm-hmm. So we all wish the best of luck to both men's and women's cross country tomorrow. Trent and James, should we mention it?
Sure.
All right. So before tomorrow's football game, we'll have a pregame show live here in the studio. James Hudson, who's a freshman this year, he's on the Witt staff, and Trent will be live in here giving us pregame stats, statistics, what to look out for. They'll be talking about upcoming stuff, so like other games in the HGAC football-wise. They'll have the results, hopefully, if they're up for the cross-country team on how they did. And then they'll have a halftime show, too. Oof. Yeah, we're going all out this week.
Got the call up to the big leagues.
Oh, huh? Yeah.
All right.
I know it sucks because soccer's over, but yeah. I'm thankful that it's over so we can do this because
that's cool.
That's an awesome thing to have. And hopefully it's a thing we can look forward to doing the rest of next year and the rest of this year for basketball too. There is a couple news, though, coming out of soccer. Two members of our men's soccer team have been named honorable mention all Heartland Conference following the 2018 season. That is sophomore Timothy Murphy and freshman Dalton Tainer. They were honored for their work on the pitch. Tim Murphy burled a penalty kick for his first collegiate goal at Wittenberg on September 7th. He has started 32 matches over the past two seasons with 15 shots, including 13 this year. It marks the second straight All-HCAC honor for Murphy. The seven goals by Dalton Tainer were the most by a Beaver since Nate Flath found the back of the net 12 times in 2008. Wow.
I was there for those.
You were?
Yeah, he was a special player, old Nate. he just buried it.
Wow, 12, that's a lot. Trent, I mean, you're a soccer man. Is that a lot, 12 goals?
Yeah, I mean, by one player, 12 goals is a lot, especially at, like, the college level. I mean, high school is a lot easier to score.
Right.
So, like, there's that. But just collegiately getting 12 goals in a season, even 7 goals in a season is just crazy.
Oh, yeah, no question. So Tainer's 7 tallies were tied for 7th in the HCAC. He paced the Beavers with 32 shots, including 18 on frame. Tainer's work up front helped Bluffton score its most goals, 8, in Heartland Conference play since 9 tallies in 2009. Wow. In conjunction with the All-HCAC selections, the Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference also announced the Christopher M. Ragsdale All-Sportsmanship Award for the fall of 2018. Sophomore Eric Bender was selected to the All-Sportsmanship team for Bluffton. This award has been developed as part of a conference-wide sportsmanship initiative. Members of the All-Sportsmanship team are selected by the coaches and their teammates as individuals who demonstrate the ideals of positive sportsmanship both on and off the field court of competition. So congratulations to these three guys on the men's soccer team. Not only were there award winners on the men's team, but there were award winners for our Lady Beavers as well. A pair of Bluffton University women's soccer players earned honorable mention all Heartland Conference honors for their work on the pitch in 2018. Senior Skylar Liming and Sienna Sullivan were recognized when the HCAC handed out its postseason hardware. A starter in all 60 matches in which she played during her 4 years at Bluffton, Skylar Liming led the Beavers with 6 goals and 5 assists this season. Her 5 helpers tied Liming for 3rd all-time at Bluffton. Wow, I did not know that. Pretty good. Liming's 17 points in a season are tied for 14th all-time. She wrapped up her career at Bluffton with 13 goals, tied for 11th all-time. 9 assists, tied for 6th all-time, and 35 total points, tied for 9th. It marks the second straight All-Heartland Conference honor for Liming. Earning her first All-HCAC award was Sienna Sullivan, who picked up 130 saves as a sophomore. She finished the season with a .756 save percentage. Sullivan is currently 7th all-time with 212 saves in her 22 matches as a Beaver. Her career save percentage is a .726 following 2 years at Bluffton. Again, in conjunction with the All-HCAC selections, the Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference also announced the All-HCAC Sportsmanship Team for the fall of 2018. Sophomore Hannah Wagner was selected to the All-Sportsmanship Team for Bluffton. I'm not going to read the rest because I already did. But with these awards, and other than Skylar, who's a senior, what does that mean for years to come? Well, at least the 2 years for most of these players returning, and for coaches who...
That's a hard question.
What I'm asking is, like, does that put a added pressure for these players who get these honors, or pressure from their coaches to expect them to do more than what they did, or what?
I think it just motivates them more. I mean, Timmy, for example, he's gotten all conference, HCAC conference, the last 2 years. As a sophomore, he already has two of those. So I think that's just motivating him to work his way up and try and get first team.
Because I think it was honorable mention twice.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Dalton's a phenomenal player.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know these all go off of, like, records. So, like, the higher your team goes, the higher the award you can get.
Yeah.
So just, I mean, our team is getting better and better each and every year. So just, I'm excited to see how it plays out with the next couple of years. I mean, the higher our team goes, maybe they can get first or second teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, with the girl side, I mean, Skylar, yeah, she's leaving, but 2 years in a row, she got honors. And then Sienna, I mean, phenomenal. Her save percentage is, that's 75% save. That's three out of four goals.
Yeah.
You can't ask for anything better. And she's as a sophomore, she's just going to continue to grow as a player and get better and better.
Yeah. And I think the big thing with Sienna is having that added pressure, though, with two other goalies behind her. And from what I've heard, all of them are equal in talent. It's just doing the extra work. And I know the two other goalies in Courtney Davis and Jules Fraser, they're going to be busting their tail to make sure that that's them being honored.
Yeah.
And that's meant in no disrespect to Sienna either, because she had a great year. And they're just... What I'm trying to get at is that they want to eat too.
And honestly, I think it's good to have that competition amongst your team, because it just pushes you all to get better.
Yeah.
And I mean, if one goes down, someone can step up and you're not losing anything when someone is off the field. And I think that's really important.
No question about it. So, yeah, I mean, congratulations to all of these soccer players with their honors. But we had Dam Jam on Wednesday. It was a fun event. Trent and I were broadcasted live there. That was pretty fun. So we're slowly moving into that transition from fall athletics to now winter athletics. And the big question, really, and I talked to Coach Shuttler at the end of Dam Jam. I should have had it recorded to play it back. But I think basically what he said in regards to who's going to fill in for the loss of the loss of Casey Rao, Macy Shear, and Abigail O'Donnell, he's like, it's not just going to be one or two players. It's going to be the entire team. And I'm really looking forward to see what this year brings for the Lady Basketball team. You guys have any thoughts, comments on what might be?
I think having that depth this year is going to be really key.
Yeah.
When you go up against these other teams in the conference, you know, the team that wins the conference has depth every year.
Yeah.
And yeah, sure, they have their one or two players, kind of like we did last year. But it's always going to be a team that can go a full four quarters or a full, you know, full game and really try their best and get out there and get fresh legs out there and really shake things up a little bit that's going to win the conference. So for Coach to say, you know, they're going to have everybody kind of fill in, that's exciting news.
Oh, no question.
That's going to be awesome to see.
Oh, yeah, because no disrespect to Macy and Casey, they were phenomenal players. Macy being the all-time leading scorer now here at Bluffton and Casey finishing third, you wanted those girls out there on the court. Absolutely. Because you wanted to make sure they were out there helping that team get the victory. But with this year, you're going to see a lot more new faces coming in into the rotation. No, depending sixth man, whatever. And that's what's exciting to me, just having that depth, like you said.
Absolutely.
Just seeing what these girls can do who didn't see a lot of court time if they've been here a couple of years with the star players that they had.
Yeah.
Moving on to the men's basketball team. I'm really looking forward to see what this team brings. Being at Dam Jam and when both teams came out to the court, I was surprised in how tall our team has gotten. And that's huge. From the last couple of seasons of commentating basketball games with Reed, that's been our biggest thing, is we don't have size. And a lot of the teams in our conference have size. And a lot of the recruits that Coach Neal has brought in, they're pretty tall.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are pretty tall. But the biggest question really will be, is Jared Whitling going to be 100%? Because he played, I believe, only 9 games last year before he went down with his knee injury. And that's going to be the big thing. How is Jared going to be recovering from that knee injury? I mean, it's been a year, but still that mental aspect of that injury. You also have Andrew Renner and Justice Dowdy, a senior and a junior. Renner the junior, Justice Dowdy the senior. They're the only two team captains, and I'm surprised there's only two.
It's another team that, you know, you sort of don't know about the depth just yet, but it certainly seems like they have it. I mean, the team's quite large.
Yes.
And they are tall, two different things. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see this year. I think I really like Justice's style of play.
Yeah.
He just hustles, man.
Yes.
He just gets out there and goes after every single ball.
He's very scrappy.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm excited to see him with a little more playing time this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, you really noticed a difference when Whitling was on the floor last year.
Oh, yeah.
So if he's 100%, I mean, this team's going to be looking pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Because they had the HGAC preseason conference poll out. They had the Beavers at 7th. And I know last year they had them 2nd to last in the conference, projected to finish, and I feel like that was a big chip on their shoulder, and they came out and just balled out. They were a couple games under 500 last year, but they had a tremendous run, I say. And if that's the case for this year, it could be better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would assume their big goal will probably be make the conference tournament.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet, you know. Going out there and having something to strive for, I think it's really possible for them this year.
Oh,
really?
No question.
I mean, you can never tell, but especially if they do stay healthy, those guys coming off the bench are really going to add, you know, kind of a spark for them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got Mandel Ransall, who was a big factor in some of the games last year and defensively and just getting the rebounds. You have Desmond Brown and Ronnie James, sophomore guards who will be a key factor with the loss of Kevin Christie and Andrew Hunter to graduation. Aaron Rich, who came in as a big factor too. Max Glass. I mean, a lot of these guys, even Isaiah Taylor, when we came back, I saw Isaiah and he's really slimmed down.
Yeah.
And that was the big thing just commentating last year, was that, I mean, Isaiah, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
But that's what we needed. We didn't really have that size, and him bringing that size down in the post and bullying people defensively and offensively, but now also losing a little bit of weight makes him quicker.
To Isaiah's credit, I mean, I'm in charge of locking up Summer Center every once in a while.
Yeah.
And there's not a time I feel like there's not a time that I go in there that he's not in there, you know, working out, you know, getting shots up. Like,
yeah.
His work ethic is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I'm sure it's that way with all the guys on the team. So,
oh, yeah.
It seems like this year they're real hungry this year. So
oh, yeah.
It'll be a fun year.
Oh, it's going to be very interesting. Their first home game will be next, is it next Wednesday or 2 Wednesdays from now? I think it's 2 Wednesdays from now.
It's 2 weeks from now. Yeah,
it's the day after
For Thanksgiving. But we will be commentating that game, Floyd Petrovic and I. And I'm very intrigued to watch that game and see how they play.
Yeah, absolutely.
So last but not least, the big thing that we have on our list is Defiance in Bluffton.
Defiance Week.
It's Defiance Week here at Bluffton University. And Defiance is coming in fresh off their first victory of the season. They're 1-8 overall, 1-6 in the conference. Bluffton coming off of what I'd say was a heartbreaking loss last week to Franklin. We had it in the bag, some toss-ups there. It's not even like play calling or anything. It's just there were some unfortunate events that happened, and we lost 28-24 in what was pretty darn good game. Because leading up to that, I honestly was scared. I thought we were just going to get smashed just because how powerful Franklin is. But looking at this, Bluffton, we hold a 46-45 and 2-tie advantage over Defiance in the all-time series, thanks to 7 wins over the rival Yellow Jackets in the past 8 meetings, including last year's 33-26 victory at Defiance. That was a slobber knocker of a game, yeah, to say so. And I'm really looking forward to see what tomorrow brings, especially with Zach Nobis starting. Nobis, he's been playing pretty darn well. He's played in 4 games. He is 32-53 on completions and attempts. He has 2 picks. His percentage is 60.4. He has 287 yards, 4 touchdowns, and his longest touchdown was a 46-yard bomb. I do believe that was to Adam Duncan. But Nobis has shown a lot of great things as a freshman.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you guys are going to be looking forward to for tomorrow's game?
You know, I am looking forward to seeing how he plays, how Nobis plays, because this is another one of those things. A lot of people, I mean, it was kind of a smooth transition to Coach Krepps, but he is a new coach. So being in the first year and having a freshman quarterback, you know, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So for Nobis to step in there and play like he has been playing, that's awesome. You know, that's great. That gives us a real kind of look at our future, to speak, for Bluffton football. So that's basically what I'm going to be watching tomorrow. And this is another one of those games. I've said it a couple times so far on the broadcast, but this is another one of those games you really never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You can throw the records out the window, so to speak.
Yeah, this game is going to be who wants it the most.
Exactly.
It's the hammer's up for grabs. Basically, Defiance is looking to make Bluffton have the same record as them. Yeah. Like you said, throw the records out the window. Both these teams are going to come out looking for that knockout. And I'm ready. I'm ready for this game. I'm so excited to watch this game. It's also my last football game to commentate.
Oof.
Yeah. Me being a senior this year, this is the last one. I don't know how I feel about that.
They got to get that W for you.
Yes. That'd be nice.
It's a whiteout tomorrow. I did want to let everybody know that.
It is. So there is a whiteout.
We got those fancy white Damn Jam shirts.
I'm actually wearing mine right now.
So there you go. And we're hoping that it doesn't snow and
make it an actual whiteout.
But you never know. We'll take that if we get it.
So. Yeah. I don't have anything else. If you guys want anything to add, two things actually before we go. One, it's my roommate from last year's birthday. Happy birthday, Josh. Hope 23 treats you well. And two, it's Friday, so MCB's tonight. Marbeck,
that's right.
Well, in Marbeck after dark.
That's correct. That's correct.
What's the event? What are we looking at?
Yeah, so this week's event is Minute to Win It.
Oh.
If you're familiar with it's an older TV show.
Yeah.
Probably, I don't know, late 2000s, something like that. But we'll basically be playing games with like household objects,
mm-hmm.
and have a chance to win some pretty cool prizes.
Nice.
So we'll obviously always have free food and drink down there. So just stop on by at starts at 9 in Bob's, and we will. It'll be a pretty good time. The games are pretty good, and I think the prizes are pretty great too. So,
can we get a little hint on what some of the prizes are, or is that a secret?
No, it's not a secret. I can tell you. There's a lot of food up for grabs.
Okay.
For prizes.
Okay.
So we'll be giving away a 3-pound pack of Oreos.
Oh my!
Yeah. So, it's pretty intense. And a, I think it's a 2 or 3 pound bag of M&Ms too.
Oh.
So, a little chocolate overdose there, but. You know, there's a couple other prizes that we're pretty excited about, and this is typically a pretty fun event.
Yeah.
It's just you come and relax, put your name in the hat. If you get drawn, go up on stage and make yourself look silly and win a prize. So.
Now, question, do you have a gallon of milk for those Oreos?
I don't, but I would be willing to buy the person out of pocket a gallon of milk for them. Maybe a half gallon.
Okay,
milk's
true.
Milk's sort of expensive,
that
so I'll
is
go
true.
With a half gallon.
Okay. But.
It would take a lot of milk to wash down 3 pounds of Oreos.
It would. So it would. It would. Oh, wow. Yeah, I would like to try to be there. I got something going on at 9, but I might be there a little.
Stop on by. Glad to have you.
I'll try. That wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. Thank you for listening, and we encourage you to come back and listen to us on Monday. Check out our previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play The Wit 96.1 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWit.com, and subscribe.
Could I interject real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you noticed the VIP section at the Dam Jam game, at the Dam Jam
I did event. See that.
So in the next few weeks, just pay attention to MCB's, you know, social media, and you can figure out a way to win an experience at one of the upcoming basketball games.
Nice.
The person that wins will be able to invite 3 of their friends. They can sit in the fancy seats. You can get 2 pizzas delivered and whatever soda or water, whatever you want. Delivered there as well. Totally free. So,
whoa.
Yeah. So,
I might not be commentating.
Yeah. Just pay attention to that. We still haven't figured out how we're going to do the winner yet, but just be on the lookout.
So, is it a different winner each week then? Or?
Yep. It'll be a different winner. We'll probably do it 3 or 4 times this semester, 3 or 4 times next semester.
Nice.
But yeah, it'll be pretty cool.
Heck yeah. That's awesome. That is pretty cool. This has been Tyler Avila, joining along with Trent Mast and Kevin White, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll beat.